The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
You know what that means. It means that today is Thursday, hour two, and we're doing Ask Metaxas. I'm going to play the role of Metaxas. And Alvin, why don't you play the role of the person who asks Metaxas?
I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to nail it right
now. Yeah, you nail it.
Right
Go
now.
Ahead.
Question number one, what are your thoughts on the Virginia election victory? What does it mean for the future?
Well, I'm not going to say anything new here. It means that many Americans have discovered that the Democratic Party is no longer the Democratic Party. They are like loony cultural Marxists who don't believe anything most Americans believe. And some people have woken up to that, which is kind of a good thing. Otherwise, we lose the Republic. And so showing Terry McAuliffe the door is just step number one. We've got tons of work to do, but that was a great first step. By the way, he's like crazy. I mean, you heard what he said about, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible. Folks, keep at it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I've heard you love Diet Coke. Say more.
That's not true. That is not true. First of all, the company Coke, I got to be serious. Like, they are so woke that I try not to do anything with their products. I have over the years drunk Diet Coke, but I think, like, the fake sugar in it, I think you shouldn't drink too much of that stuff. So maybe I'll drink it, but not much of it. So I don't know where you got that idea, but not so much.
Drink the smaller cans. What is your favorite TV show?
I'll give you a hint.
That's
not the Addams Family.
It's not.
That's the Munsters.
Oh, the Munsters. Sorry, I get those scary 60s.
It's a great song, but it's probably not my favorite TV show.
I watch
Turner Classic Movies a lot
you do.
Because I like old movies. Old movies have the mores and morality of yesteryear, which is better than more modern movies. And so I like living in that world sometimes. Also, they're great movies. So I'm going to say Turner Classic Movies, if I have to watch that kind of stuff, or BritBox.
Yes. Acorn TV as well. A lot of good stuff on that. Okay, I like the old Dick Van Dyke Show. That was always my favorite. What is your favorite movie?
That is hard to answer. I mean, I think out of the gate, comedy, I'd say probably Young Frankenstein. But it's tough. There are many great movies. My favorite Christmas movie is the Scrooge musical starring Albert Finney. There's a lot to say on that, which I won't now because we don't have a lot of time. But there's so many great movies. The Elephant Man, one of the most powerful movies I've ever seen. Deeply Christian, actually, if you are paying attention.
Yeah.
But there are just so many extraordinary movies that, depending on what kind of mood you're in, Alfie, the first Alfie, 1967, starring Michael Caine, Shelley Winters, great movie. There's tons of great movies.
You haven't mentioned mine, The Ghost and Mr. Chicken, but we'll go on.
Right, that's correct. I haven't mentioned that.
Who is your favorite musical artist and song?
I'm going through a Bob Seger phase right now.
Yeah.
Because some of his lyrics really speak to me. We've got tonight, who needs tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Let's make it last. Hmm. Let's find a way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're
not talking to me, are you?
It's true. No. I do go through these phases, but inevitably they feature 70s bands. But if I had to pick one, I always would probably say Elton John because his music, I just think he's got so many great. But I discovered a new one this summer. And I'm always like, it doesn't seem like, imagine if somebody said, you like the Beatles, right? Have you heard this song? And you go, no, I've never heard that song. That's not possible, right? Like, you've heard every good song, every song that you love. I discovered a song this summer by Elton John. I could not believe that somehow I had missed it. It's Skyline Pigeon. And it is one of the most beautiful songs that I was just astonished. So I literally texted Bernie Taupin's wife. I mean, he wrote the lyrics to it. It is so beautiful. The lyrics are amazing. But I just couldn't believe it. And I realized it's not on any of the best of albums. It's just weird. It's like really popular in South America. Mm. But so Elton John's, and I'm going through a big Bob Seger phase right now.
There we go. I like this question. Why do you live in New York City? I want to buy your book, but know that you would just spend the money there.
I live in New York City because my wife and daughter live in New York City. Hmm. This is what we like to call our home.
Family.
So bug off, punk. No, actually, my parents are in Connecticut. I was born in New York City. Suzanne's family has been in Jersey. So we've been at the midpoint. Our church families have been here. So I don't know like why people have this kind of hostility to New York. You know, it's kind of like saying like you don't believe in improving a place, like just let it go to hell. That's not really that biblical, is it now? So I want you to think about that.
Here's another good one. I'm genuinely curious if you actually wear a wig or if that's a joke because your hair is it's just on point.
It's so on point.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely curious if you actually wear a wig or if that's a joke because your hair is so on point. That is such a great question. I don't think I'm ready to answer that publicly yet.
Mm.
But I often talk about wearing a horsehair wig.
Yeah.
I say that horsehair is the best if you're going to invest in a wig. Horsehair holds its value. And I remember when I was a kid, my dad, he pointed out the horse in the back 40 and said, "See that horse, son?
That's yours.
One day we're going to blast that sucker to kingdom come and you're going to wear its hide."
Beautiful.
And I said, "Pop, you got a deal."
Yeah, it sounds like a children's book.
I'm not really, it doesn't sound like a sweet kid's book.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget the feeling of power I had blasting that old nag to kingdom come, knowing that I would repurpose its hide. This is getting really sick. Let's move on.
Okay. My husband and I are fans. We read your books. We listen to you on the internet. We've heard you in person. We've applauded. We recently saw you in Wichita, Kansas. Afterwards, my husband said, if it would have been God's will for Bonhoeffer to kill Hitler, Bonhoeffer would have been successful. Is that Romans 8:28? I thought it was an interesting statement and wondered what you would think about that.
If it was God's will for Adam to eat the apple, he would have been successful. All of these horrible things happen. And when you get into the whole idea of, like, is it God's will, man, we got to chew on these things. These are deep questions. So I'm not going to pretend that in this segment, maybe in another segment I can get to that. But I'm more into cheap joke answers today. Sorry.
Okay. This is serious. What is your next book?
Okay. I haven't figured it out yet. My book titled Fish Out of Water ends at my 25th birthday in my conversion.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of miracles happen, obviously, since then. And so I want to write the sequel to it, which honestly is just loaded with amazing miracle stories. No kidding.
Wow.
So probably that. I'll just say that.
You'll have a lot of fun doing that too, I'm sure. Why was Jesus 12 years old in 6 AD? And this is on page 201 in your Is Atheism Dead book.
Well, I think historians and theologians know that the date, by the way, you know there's no zero, right? It goes from 1 BC, the year after that is 1 AD.
Oh.
If you didn't know that, make a note of it and don't ever forget it. But Jesus seems to have been born, when you look at all the data, in what we would call 6 BC. Mm. So, yeah, he didn't, you know, he wasn't born on the calendar that we created. So,
interesting.
But it's kind of complicated.
Oh, here's a serious one.
Oh, we're out of time.
Oh,
shoot.
Okay,
we're out of time.
A good one next week for Ask Metaxas, I guess, right?
But that Bonhoeffer question is such a deep question.
Yeah,
I think
is.
We do need to address that another time because you got to really chew on it. It's so heavy. Anyway, thank you for these wonderful questions. I apologize for the answers, and we'll be right back.
Just a sky. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Hey there, folks. As promised, Pastor Che On is in the studio. Pastor Che, welcome.
Hey, Eric. It's great
now,
to be
I call
here.
You Pastor Che or Papa Che? Everywhere I go, people refer to you as Papa Che. And I thought, I got to change to Papa Che.
Well, you could call me whatever you want. You could call me Che. You know, it's interesting because around 10 years ago, as I was traveling around the world, people started to spontaneously call me Papa Che. And honestly, I didn't like it because it made me sound old. But then it hit me. I'm a grandfather, you know. So I am a father and a grandfather. I have 8 grandchildren, 4 beautiful adult children. They all love the Lord, and 3 of them are pastors. So I'm very
grateful.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. So you, in case anybody doesn't know you, you are the senior and founding pastor of Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena.
Yes.
And I want to talk a little bit about your story. If people don't know you, because I've known you for some time, what is your story? I mean, what's the short version of your biography so people understand how you got to be where you are today?
My dad was the first Korean Southern Baptist pastor in North America. He immigrated in 1958, but we had some visa problems, came in 1960 with my mother, my sister, and me. And just grew up in the United States, so right here in Montgomery County, Maryland. So I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. Even though I was a pastor's kid, I didn't know the Lord until I was 17. And prior to that, I got caught up in the whole drug hippie culture. And I was a heavy drug user. I decided to sell it because I wanted to take drugs for free. And so I was told by the Montgomery County Sheriff that I was the number one drug dealer in my county. And so I was making...
You were the number one drug dealer in your county? Wow.
And I was
okay.
17 years old, making thousands of dollars per month selling drugs. I think that's probably the entrepreneur side of my grandfather, who was a banker. He was very wealthy. My dad's side, very poor. But my father, grandfather's side, on my mom's side, they're all business people. So anyway, I'm making a lot of money, and yet I'm absolutely miserable. I had everything I wanted, and I got into Eastern religion. And one day, I was at my friend's house doing my Zen chant, and I said to myself, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. I've been doing it for 1 year. So I cried out to God. I said, God, I don't even know if you exist. But if you do exist, reveal yourself. If my parents are telling me the truth, there's a heaven and a hell. Well, I don't want to go to hell. So it was a real selfish prayer, but I really was sincere. I said, reveal yourself. And I wasn't expecting anything there then, but the presence of God came all over me, Eric. And
right
there at the party at my friend's house, and I began to weep. And it wasn't just a little tears. I was sobbing. And I could not stop weeping for the next 3 days because I felt so much of the love of Jesus Christ off and on throughout the day. I would just break down and weep. And no one was there to talk to me, to tell me it's Jesus. I just had this encounter. But I began to then pursue him. And within 2 weeks, I was completely off of drugs. And I just said, I don't understand everything I'm going through because there was still no discipleship. I had my dad's church, but it was a Korean church. They just spoke Korean. I couldn't relate to it. I was actually helping him out. And basically, it wasn't until a year later I found the Jesus People Movement, a Bible study, around 2,000 kids. I found my tribe, and that's when I started to get mentored. But the last day I did drugs was May 25th, 1973. I was instantly delivered. And I believe in all kinds of deliverance. I like the 12-step program, but I like the one-step program better. And that's what happened to me.
So you really did experience, because I've heard people talk about this, that they were miraculously delivered from some besetting sin, whether it's cigarettes or, you know, where, because sometimes people make a choice and then it's a struggle. But there are people, and I've heard this from many people, that they were miraculously delivered. You're saying that your drug use, you were miraculously delivered.
Absolutely, one day. And was other things. Of course, I was smoking cigarettes. I was a sex addict. I mean, the whole objective of getting high was to pick up girls and turn them on and then seduce them. I mean, I'd just been real and carnal. But it was just an unbelievable lifestyle during that time. But the moment I gave my life to the Lord, I knew I had to be pure. I knew that I had to be celibate. So I made a vow to the Lord, not even to date. I'm 17, so I'm going into until I met my wife. And so I was a celibate for 5 years. And then my wife was also celibate. She was a virgin. She wanted to be a nun. She came from a Catholic background, so she was really celibate. But the grace of God, it says the same grace that brings salvation to all men also teaches you to say no to ungodliness and to live a self-controlled, upright life in Titus 2, verse 11. And so that grace came upon me to just say no. And I just fell in love with Jesus, Eric. I just said, I'm going to serve you. I didn't know anything, but I'm going to love you with all my heart because I felt so much of his love. And that's the way it should be, because we love because he first loved us. When we encounter his love, then we just reciprocate and we do our best to love him. Of course, we fall short, we fail, but each time we experience his mercy and love and we just continue to run after him.
And suddenly it's 40 years later and you have spiritual children and grandchildren. I mean, it's actually amazing. We were together in Washington, D.C. for the Let Us Worship event on the Mall
right.
in D.C. You spoke. I spoke. We had Rob McCoy spoke. Senator Josh Hawley.
Amazing.
Who would dream that this guy is an on fire Christian? I was so impressed. I mean, he's
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Super brilliant guy and a senator, 41 years old, and completely full of faith.
Yeah.
It was an amazing experience. And then, of course, Jay Koopman, who does these things with Sean Foyt. I'm so impressed with Jay, so blown away by his anointing, his talent. He's an extraordinary person, but he is really your spiritual son.
Yeah, I've known Jay for 20 years. And we used to actually speak together at these Asian conferences all throughout Asia. He would speak to the young people. I would speak to the adults. And one day we were just talking. I said, you know, I would love to hire you. But he lived in South Carolina at that time. I was in Los Angeles. And God spoke to him. And he says, I'm coming. So as soon as he got married to Brittany, by faith, he came. He didn't have a job, nothing, and just started to serve our church. He was living off his wedding gifts, you know, because it's so expensive to live in Los Angeles. And so we hired him. So he's been on staff for like 8 years now, doing a great job. And then when he told me that Sean had invited him to run with him, I said, this is of the Lord. I've been involved in the Jesus People movement. Now it's your turn to reach the lost. And God's using him so powerfully. He has led more people to Jesus Christ in the past year and a half than most people will in a lifetime. And so he's doing a phenomenal job. We're really proud of him.
Well, he has a spectacular talent and anointing. And I mean, it's obvious when you see it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't know. But it was so beautiful to watch. And what did it mean to you to be in the nation's capital like that? It was a wonderful thing. People can see it online. I hope they'll check it out. I've posted it. But it seemed very significant to me.
Yeah, very significant, 9/11. And, of course, I grew up in Washington, D.C. My dad was the pastor at the National Baptist Memorial Church right on 16th Street. We lived in Maryland, but his building was in Washington, D.C. Now, he didn't pastor the big church there. It was a small little chapel with Korean students that the Korean government had sent to help rebuild Korea after the Korean War. And so they wanted a pastor. There was a Methodist church, a Presbyterian church in Washington, D.C., but there was no Baptist, and they wanted a Baptist. And Southern Baptist wrote to the board in Korea. My dad applied, and he got the job. Eric was like winning the lotto because there's no way you could immigrate to the United States in 1958. It was so hard. In fact, it wasn't until 67 under Johnson that the immigration laws changed. But only special visas were given, and they were given to these students to help rebuild Korea after the Korean War. And my dad was their pastor, but that opened the door for us to come. And what people don't realize is that this is, with all the problems in California and the progressive left movement, still the best nation in the world.
Oh.
You know, I love America.
Now, listen, you are obviously from California. You had some horrible run-ins with Governor Newsom. Talk about that for a second.
Well, what happened was is that when the lockdown happened in March of 2020, I think all of us locked down. We didn't know what this pandemic was all about. And President Trump said 30-day lockdown, and so we wanted to comply. But then my brother's a surgeon at Kaiser, and after the 30-day lockdown, you know, they were saying if they we just got to flatten the curve, you know, and just hang in there. And it was just saying it's not what they're saying. Newsom was saying now that this is how crazy the numbers were, and it was based on science and data. Out of 40 million in California, 22 million would get COVID and 2 million would die. Well, 2 million have died, but that's global numbers, not
so
in
California. So this was really California to scare the heck out of people.
Absolutely.
And there are many people today still scared to death.
Oh, the spirit of fear
something
that came
that they
upon
should
California.
Not be scared of.
And the spirit of fear. And so, but my brother, being a doctor, a scientist, he just said, that's not what's happening. I'm here. We had to shut down everything so that we wouldn't overload the hospitals. And I can't do my surgeries, and people are dying of that. And yet there was not people dying of COVID at that time. And so I decided to open up on May 31st, 2020, on Pentecost Sunday. We already missed Easter, Palm Sunday. We missed our global conference, which people from all over the world would come to, and, of course, of the global lockdown. And we decided to open, and then he shut down the church again. He opened it up for 10% or 100 people, whatever is less, for like 3-week period. And by the way, he said no singing when you're open, no singing or chanting, which is like you're not supposed to interfere with a free exercise.
What
thereof.
About praying, Governor Newsom? Can we pray with your permission? We'll be right back. Folks, I'm talking to Pastor Che On, last name A-H-N. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, Eric Metaxas here. Joe Biden and the Democrats have laid out the most socialist agenda our country has ever seen. Instead of following President Trump's blueprint that had the economy booming, the Dems are going to raise taxes, increase regulations, and skyrocket an already outrageous national debt. If your retirement is in traditional investments, it is in jeopardy. Americans should be diversifying their investments with gold and precious metals. Gold gives you control over your wealth and protects you from market volatility, inflation, and a weakening dollar. When investing in gold, I turn to Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals has over 40 years of experience in helping Americans protect their finances, and this team is prepared to patiently consider your own personal financial needs. If you're looking to invest in gold, call the good folks at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-473-6204 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Don't leave your retirement to chance, friends. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. That's 866-473-6204. Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to my friend Pastor Che On of Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena, California. You were just talking about how at the beginning of this COVID thing, it was pure madness, and only a handful of pastors had the courage that you did. Our friend, Pastor Rob McCoy, Jack Hibbs, just a handful of pastors around
John
the country.
MacArthur, you know.
John MacArthur, yeah. Said, "Hey, we're gonna open up. We don't believe the church is optional, and if you don't like it, come and get us." And so you got involved in lawsuits and all kinds of stuff. But you simply believed we're going to follow God and not man. And it's very rare in America that we get to live out our faith this way.
Well, what we saw was the double standard, the discrimination, because right after he locked down, of course, the George Floyd tragedy took place. And so 100,000 BLM and Antifa people were marching down, protesting and rioting, no social distancing, no mask. And you talk about racism, they targeted Fairfax, which is a Jewish community, and destroyed their businesses. The next day, Newsom does a press conference and commends them. He says, your First Amendment rights must be protected. You will be protected. We will not arrest you. And your voices need to be heard. And then he closes with, God bless you. And I'm watching this, and something rose up within me, and I said, we're going to sue him. And so we end up suing Governor Newsom. The next month, I get a letter from our city prosecutor in Pasadena, the most egregious dark letter. She said, we're going to arrest you. We just want to give you a heads up. We're coming to arrest you. It will be a year term in jail. We're going to fine your church members $1,000 per person since they've been meeting on May 31st. And then last paragraph, we reserve the right to arrest your church members. That's what got me. I said, this is crazy. This is madness. Because Newsom was letting out prisoners during this time, thousands of prisoners.
This is evil. This is when, yeah. I mean, look, let's be honest. We have been so blessed in America that it's very hard for us to imagine that our government could be this wicked. It's very hard for us to imagine. We've never seen anything like this.
Well, it's Isaiah 5:20 that woe to those who call evil good, good evil, darkness light, light darkness. And so that's what we're saying. So they're letting out prisoners, but they want to arrest law-abiding citizens who just want to worship Jesus. I mean, if that's not crazy madness, I don't know what it is. And so we asked for an emergency injunction to protect me from being arrested. It was denied by an Obama federal judge. We went to the Ninth Circuit. It was denied there. And that's why elections do matter, because the federal judges there were all liberal. Ninth Circuit's the most liberal appeals court. And then it went to the Supreme Court, and they didn't weigh on our constitutional right. They just weighed in on my the arrest. And they said that's totally unconstitutional. And that was December of 2020. And then was in February, they weighed in on the right to lock down. And then 6-3, which was a surprise, John Roberts even sided with the others that it was totally unconstitutional to lock down the church. So we won. And this is something that will be a precedent for the future. In perpetuity, the governor can never lock down the church from now on. And this sets
the
precedent for the rest of the states. So it was a huge victory for the church.
Well, I think for me, one of the takeaways is that when some of these government entities overreach, the backlash, it's by definition, they overreach and something happens which plays into God's hands, because if they hadn't overreached, the church wouldn't rise up. If things hadn't gotten so bad, we wouldn't be fasting and praying. And as you know, with Sean Foyt, we're calling for 21 days of fasting and prayer, and people can get involved any way they want, but to pray for the nation. We are in a crucible right now. We're in the middle of something so important. But I do believe that the tremendous arrogance and foolishness of people like Governor Newsom forced people to wake up and to say, okay, now I better fight, because this is nuts.
Well, I think the devil overplays his hand over and over again, even after the election laws, and my personal opinion was stolen. A group of pastors.
Wait, that the election was stolen? That's crazy talk, man. We don't have that. This is mainstream radio. Alvin, we don't talk about crazy stuff. The election, a U.S. election was stolen. Yeah. You know what? Now that you mentioned it, you're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's keep going.
Yeah, so we were so discouraged in California, and I was personally discouraged because people don't know this, but I was campaigning for President Trump in 2020. September, October, I went to the battleground states with our churches there, meeting with pastors, encouraging them to register their people and vote biblically, to vote pro-life and vote for President Trump. And the tremendous turnout, I was so encouraged. There was so much momentum. I just said, you know, we're going to win this, hands down. And so when we had this election stolen, I was so discouraged. But it led to around 14 major leaders in California, and I would call them all apostles, not just in the church, but it's like John Jackson, president of William Jessup University, Shannon Grove, who's a state senator, and other business people like Dave Diaz. We came together and we formed what's called Revive California. And what we're doing is that we're pulling our resources, a 501c4 organization, not a 501c3, and we're going to ask believers, conservative believers who are mature, to run for office, and we're going to support them financially. And so right now for 2022, we have two pastors who are running for Congress, U.S. Congress in California. That's part of our network. And so we're seeing a surge of activism from pastors and believers, whereas before they were so apathetic and passive. And, you know, but there's a revival taking place. There's an awakening taking place. And so, again, I feel like the devil played his hand, because if Trump had won, we would not have formed this organization.
But see, this is the point. This is the point. You know, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. That is the law of the word of God. And we need to understand that even when things, horrible things happen, that if we give it to God, it works together for good. What we're seeing right now would not have happened if the election hadn't been stolen.
Exactly.
So we had to see how bad it is. We'll be right back talking to Pastor Che on. He is with Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena. Don't go away.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Hey, folks, all you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have box stores or any shopping channels. They've been part of this canceled culture, and they want to pass the savings on directly to you so you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for the classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with promo code ERIC. They also have queen size, regularly $79.98, now $24.98 with promo code ERIC, or king size, regularly $89.98, only $29.98 with promo code ERIC. MyPillow is not just pillows. They've got over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers and dog beds, you name it. My promo code ERIC also works on mystore.com. You can get my books and frankspeech.com. Go to mypillow.com or call 1-800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC to take advantage of Mike's special offer on his standard MyPillow. That's mypillow.com, promo code ERIC, or 1-800-978-3057. Folks, I want to remind you, we're in the middle of 21 days of fasting and prayer. I don't know what that means to you, and it doesn't make any difference what it means to you. Just as long as it means something, do it. Two nights ago, Suzanne and I fasted dinner, and we prayed. Whatever you want to do, however you want to do it with friends. But our country is hanging in the balance. This is real. And if you don't believe in God, let me just tell you, stay tuned, because I think that apart from God, we're dead. That's why many of us are praying. I'm sitting here with Pastor Che on. Pastor Che, you know, we talk about how bad things have gotten in America, how it's woken up the church. But you and your father, particularly, have experienced something way beyond this. We're talking about North Korea.
Right.
Like, we think it's bad in this country. We're not even scratching the surface of the surface. Tell us about your father in North Korea.
Well, the good news is that revival broke out in what is now North Korea in 1907, called the Pyongyang Revival, and was really out of the trauma of the Japanese occupation in 1905. And then 1910, they became like a vassal state of Japan, and they were colonized. But during that 45 years, tremendous revival broke out. And then, of course, 1945, the war ends. And Stalin wanted all of Korea to be communist, to be a buffer against Japan. And at that time was Truman, because he was the unexpected president that just came in. Roosevelt had died. Then he said no. And so they divided North and South Korea at the 38th parallel, North being communist, South being democratic. But my dad was in North Korea. He was in Pyongyang. He was born in Pyongyang. He was trapped. And in 1948, Kim Il-sung became the dictator, the president.
So this is the grandfather of the current
Jong-un, yeah. Right, the grandfather, exactly. And he wanted to unify all of Korea under communism. And so in 1950, he arrested all the pastors, because the pastors were the biggest threat. It's amazing, because it's an atheistic government, right? Communism is atheist, and pastors are not going to bow their knees to BLM or Antifa or communism.
Well,
they're
going to
only bow our knees to Jesus Christ.
But we have to understand, this always happens, is that the biggest threat to any kind of dictator, any kind of government that is trying to crush people, the biggest threat is always those who believe in God, always.
Exactly.
It happens. It's happening in America. But of course, what you're talking about in an atheist state like North Korea, suddenly the pastors are they're the biggest threat. So your
father, as Dr. King said, we're to be the prophetic conscience, prophetic voice to the state. And so they arrested my father in 1950. Then he, in June 1950, he invades with 75,000 soldiers South Korea. It's like a blitzkrieg. It's like Hitler's playbook. And just overwhelms with Soviet tanks, Soviet behind them, overwhelms and pushes the Korean forces all the way to the city Pusan, which is the southern capital. Basically,
okay, so this is obviously the beginning of the Korean War.
Beginning of the Korean War.
Okay.
And thank God for the U.S. soldiers. I could just cry even, you know, thinking about it because, you know, we put down the U.S. armed forces so many times, but they have saved nations. And Truman said, Douglas MacArthur, who was in Japan at that time because he was the one who had won the World War II in the Asian front, and he was overseeing the nations after World War II. And so he came in personally and had this brilliant strategy of going through the Yellow Sea and invading through Incheon, which is now a major city with the airport there, to split North and South Korea army, I mean North Korea's army in half, and send a division down south and then descend division up north, and it was brilliant. The war could have been ended in 6 months. And so as they pushed the North Korean forces to Chinese border, they released all the prisoners, and millions migrated down to South Korea, including my parents, my grandparents, and their family.
Wow.
And so a lot of people realized they hated communism. They couldn't wait till they were able to. So there's this iconic picture of the North Koreans marching single file up north, and Korean women and children marching down because the men were conscripted. They were in the military. So it was women that really came down. But my dad came down because he was a pastor. He wasn't in the army. And thank God for the U.S. soldiers because I wouldn't be here, Eric. It wasn't a fact because he was single pastor at that time. And he met my mom in Yongnak Presbyterian Church in Seoul, Korea, 1945. And the church started in 1945, but they met in that church, and so here I am. But thank God for the U.S. forces. But unfortunately, the Chinese, North Chinese, the Chinese government jumped in, and it ended up being a three-year war, and 50,000 American soldiers died in that war for democracy. But now South Korea has boasted some of the world's largest churches, including Yonggi Cho. By the way, Yonggi Cho passed away today. I don't know if you heard that. 85, he passed away this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And I knew him personally. I preached at his church, did three nights of healing services in a church.
Wow. Well, that church is such a phenomenon. It doesn't seem possible. When I started hearing about Paul Yonggi Cho's church and how many people are in this church, I said, how many people were eventually part of this church?
750,000 at the peak. When I preached, just in this building, there were 45,000 each night. It's like preaching at a stadium.
45,000?
Yeah.
And that's just before he got started. I mean,
no,
it's crazy.
It was near his retirement, but he was just so full of the Holy Spirit. He brought revival to South Korea. And, of course, you know, Korea boasts some of the world's largest. My grandparents' church, Yongnak Presbyterian Church, is a small church of 80,000 members. So it's the largest church in the world, Presbyterian church in the world. Yeah. And so because of the democracy and the seed that was planted from the Pyongyang revival, so we see a tremendous growth, economic growth. Korea is the 11th richest nation now in the world. And so we really need to pray for North Korea. We need to pray that we would redig the walls of the Pyongyang revival, because now North Korea under communism is probably the worst communist nation as far as human rights go. It's like living in a concentration camp. The whole country is one big concentration camp.
No question. It's beyond belief. That's why anybody that out of foolishness or ignorance denounces America, denounces American police, American military. We have done so much good, and so many have died for freedom. And people don't know what they're talking about.
But here's the thing that it's been the wake-up call. So because of my dad, his background, the DNA that I received from him, all of a sudden I'm seeing socialism, Marxism creeping into California.
Yeah.
Social I mean,
but that, and that's why you're so strong against it. We're going to go to a break, but we need to cover this. Folks, we're talking to Pastor Che on Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena. You can go to hrockchurch.com, hrockchurch.com.
Move to make a few things right. You'll never see me wear a suit of white. Oh, I'd love to wear a rainbow every day.
Hey, folks, a couple of minutes left with Pastor Che on. Okay, you were talking about how because you experienced communism, you have a fire for freedom in America. And because my parents experienced communism, I feel similarly right. that so many people don't have a clue what's going on. But we both know that the only answer is God. That's not a cliche. That is a fact. It is true. That's where we are.
Absolutely. And I feel in the midst of the darkness that we're experiencing with COVID, with all the shaking economic meltdown and the division in our nation, I feel the light of revival is coming. Haggai 2:7 says, I'm going to shake all nations and I'll fill this house with glory. And then it goes on to say in verse 9, the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. Now, Haggai was prophesying and he was interpreting it's going to be the temple that they would build under Zerubbabel in this post-exilic period, because the first temple got destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And so he was saying this glory is going to be greater than the glory that Solomon experienced when he dedicated the temple in 2 Chronicles 5. But it didn't happen. We read Ezra 6 at the dedication, no glory came. He was prophesying of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And so God's been moving throughout the 2,000 years of history, and by the way, we've been in the last days for the last 2,000 years, because one day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, 1,000 years is one day. And so in these last days, he promises glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. So even though Acts 2 was tremendous and the Great Awakening was tremendous and the Reformation was wonderful, Second Great Awakening, all the revivals of Azusa Street, we're going to experience the greatest revival in the history of the church. And it's not hyperbole, it's not exaggeration. It is scripture, because the Bible says that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former. And of course, Habakkuk 2:14 says that the knowledge of glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, which sounds redundant, water over the sea. But what he's talking about, just like the last time the waters covered the sea was Noah's flood. And we're going to see such a tsunami flooding of God's presence and glory. And people are going to know this glory. They're going to know Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we're going to see the greatest revival. And of course, Jesus said in Matthew 13, the harvest is at the end of the age. Right now, Eric, according to Dave Barrett's encyclopedia, 200,000 people are getting saved every day globally. 35,000 in China every day, 35,000 in India. We see Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation, is now 40% born again.
Wow.
And so we're seeing a global harvest in Brazil. And it's just the beginning. You know, I had a friend of mine who prophesied a billion soul harvest that he said is going to happen after he died. And he died in 2014, Bob Jones. And we're seeing it. And people are so ripe, because right now with the pandemic, people are turning to God left and right. You know, as C.S. Lewis said in The Problem of Pain, he said, God shouts to us when we're suffering pain. And so people are suffering right now, because who needs God if everything's great? You know, everything's going well.
That's
but the
irony,
moment we are in suffering, we start turning to God. And so I feel the harvest is ripe. But we need to activate the church to share good news, to be good news, to proclaim that Jesus died for our sins and rose again.
I see it happening in my own life. I see it more and more wherever I go that this is true. This is happening. There's a desperation where people are finally getting to the point where they say, you know what? Okay, I get it. God is the only answer.
Yeah.
And that's a good place to be, folks. Even if you have to suffer to get there, that's God's mercy. Pastor Che, it's just wonderful to see you, to be with you in the same room. I want to encourage people to visit your church in Pasadena, hrockchurch.com, harvestrockchurch.com. I hope to see you in person out there, where it's sunnier than it is here.
But you preached at our church. You did such a tremendous job, and we need to have you come back.
I would love to come back. We'll talk about that offline. But my joy to have you on this program. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.